Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Australian Jams. I'm back on a regular schedule for the last part of the year because I got off the schedule a little bit earlier this year, as everyone knows. This is, I think, episode 73. I'm really good at forgetting to check, but I'm going to go with it. But today I'm joined by someone who has been on the podcast before, way back when it was in its infancy. We did have a bit of a joke before about how terrible my audio setup was back then. I'm glad that it's improved drastically since. I'm joined by the unbelievable Eilish Gilligan. Hello, Eilish.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a while. We have lots to catch up on.
We do. We were just talking about how great and painful Pilates is. So, yeah. Melbourne lockdown. We're finally moving our bodies again for the first time. Okay, so for people who aren't aware of you, which, you know, anyone listening to this podcast that isn't aware of Eilish, shame on you because I talk about you nearly every single week. Can you tell them who you are and what you do?
I am a Melbourne-based singer, songwriter, producer, I guess. And I've been making music for, I was going to say like the last 5 years, but I suppose it's like longer than that, I suppose, as a solo artist. Sorry, it's early. I've only just had my first coffee. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, basically I'm a musician. That's all you need to know.
You're much more than a musician. I feel like I should flag the fact that the last episode we released was with Jono from Cry Club, and we talked in depth about you because we're talking about your single Flesh, but also the fact that, and we'll talk probably more about this later on in the episode, but because you mentioned kind of producer,
yeah,
you produced Flesh kind of on the fly on a Twitch stream, right?
I did, yeah, which is quite, I'm so angry at myself because with Twitch, like, the VOD, which is, like, the video, it stands for, like, video of the day or whatever, but which is, like, the recording of your stream, it only stays live for, like, a set period of time. Like, it doesn't stay live forever. And I just never saved it. Like, you can save them if you want to keep them, and I just never saved it. So, I literally made that song from nothing into everything except the top line in one day, like in a long kind of stream, and I just don't have any evidence that that's true. except for the people that were there that may remember me doing it. But you know what? Whatever. Like, I've made my peace with it now.
I mean, it's even more special for the people that did watch it, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. I hope they remember, because, yeah, maybe we can, like, crowdsource memories from it and just talk about it one time. But yeah, it's so annoying. So annoying.
And that was kind of, you've used Twitch to kind of get you through the lockdown period, am I right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny because, like, it just kind of, not that the lockdown has ever been a convenient thing at all, but, like, I think one way or another, I probably was going to try Twitch at some point this year, regardless of what was going on, just because, like, it's such a cool platform and the community there is just so delightful, and people are so the culture there is so reverent and respectful of the content creators, and I really love that, because like I mean girl, do you want to like get into this now, because like this is I have a lot to say about this. But basically I'll try and do the short version. Basically, like, the idea of social media is that it should really be, like, there should be some level of exchange in terms of, like, you give the social media platform good content, and in turn, the social media platform helps you grow a community, helps you grow your fan base, potentially helps you grow, like, some new level of income stream or whatever. And I've found that the exchange, it's always a balance. And like with most platforms, it's like they get more out of you than you get out of them. But with Twitch, it feels like incredibly balanced. Like it feels like, if anything, I'm getting more for myself and my practice and my fan base and my audience than Twitch is getting out of me, if that makes sense.
That's incredible.
Yeah, which is really cool and rare. Like, I can't think of another platform like it, or at least one that has the balance so in favor of the creator. Because, like, if you think about it, like, the worst example for me is, like, TikTok. Like, you just feed that content and there's no real, like, indication that you're reaching anyone in any kind of genuine way. It just is, like, you're kind of feeding, you're giving TikTok good content to make people go on their app, but you just don't get anything out of that.
yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I maybe I should start a Twitch for sports stuff.
Yeah,
let's see if there are fans there for women's sport on Twitch.
They're fully up. That's the thing. There's an audience for everything you can imagine. Like it is just like my favorite subsection of Twitch is drag queens who play Dead by Daylight. Like that is just the best. It's the best thing ever, and it is massive, and it's not something that you would, you know, immediately kind of think of, but that's the great thing about Twitch. Like there is just an audience for everything, and I'm sure women's sport would be up there with like some of the most popular content on there for sure.
Hopefully. I mean, you do follow me on Twitter, so you do see that that's all I tweet about, so You knew what you were getting into. amazing. We're going to come back to that towards the end of this episode, but you've come in here with three song choices.
Yep.
Do you want to kick us off with the first one?
Yeah. Well, I think we should talk about Cry Club first, just because we kind of were talking about them before anyway, and I just can't contain myself. I chose Dissolve, which I mean, I don't know how transparent you are with people, but we're recording this on the day that the album comes out. Yes. I was going to choose Vertigo, but when we were, like, exchanging songs, it was, like, before the album would come out, and I was like, oh, I can't do that. Anyway, so I chose Dissolve basically because I am obsessed with the entire Cry Club album and the entire Cry Club, like, phenomenon, I suppose. I think they are just brilliant. Like, I cannot stress to you enough how fantastic and innovative and beautiful I think they are. The music is incredible. It's impeccably produced alongside Gab. And this song in particular is like, it just sounds like the presets, but like a queer, more badass, more abrasive, more like emotional version of the presets. It's just so good. Like how did I live without it before, you know?
Oh, 100%. I actually, so everyone would know that the last episode was Jono from Cry Club. So we did talk about the album, quite generally, but I'm glad we're getting the opportunity to talk about Dissolve specifically, because I think, he mentioned on that episode that it was never meant to be a single, but because of delays and things like that, it ended up being a single. And I was like, imagine if this hadn't come out as a single on its own first. I don't think it would have got the respect it deserved. And yeah. You said abrasive as a descriptor for this, which, you know, some people might take as a negative. I think it's absolutely a positive.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what I love about Cry Club is that it's no apologies. Like, this is how I feel and this is how I'm going to help you describe how you're feeling in a situation.
Oh, 100%. It's just like... And also, I wanted to talk about this song too, because I think that there's a bit of a stigma, but I think people, like, songwriters shy away from singing about anything but romantic love a lot of the time. And I just love this song in particular because it highlights the fact that platonic love can be just as emotionally fraught, like, just as torturous, just as difficult, just as exhilarating as romantic love can be. I think this song proves that just beyond a shadow of a doubt. And also the top line is amazing. Like that first, sorry, I'm getting like work done in my house. So if you can hear banging, that's what it is. Yeah, that top line, that opening line, there's just no space to kind of find your feet. It just is there straight away, which that's something I love about Cry Club too. They do that all the time, which is just like so badass. I love them. They're so great.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their lyricism, for everything they've released, there are such... It's such... I don't know. I attach myself a lot to these lyrics, and it's always been like DFTM, don't fucking touch me. Like that's a t-shirt I wear all the time. Or, you know, Two Hearts has all of those little lines in it that are just so, I don't want to say pithy because it's not, it's really genuine.
Oh, yeah.
It's not crafted in a way that it's meant to be like, oh, this fits.
Yeah.
It's like, that's almost stream of consciousness type thing. And the one that I've pulled out from this song is Did I Do Something or Did We Dissolve? Like, it's just, I can't imagine someone who hasn't had that thought before. Like, did I do something or is this just a friendship that didn't work?
Yeah, 100%. As you get older. And also the other thing that I love about Cry Club, I mean, I could talk, we could just make this Cry Club podcast, but like the other thing I love about Cry Club is that they're coming from a perspective of like mid 20s kind of, like I think Heather's like 26 or something. And I really appreciate that, like a song coming out about a dissolving friendship and being plagued by anxieties. It's like you kind of go through life, and like when you're 18, you're kind of like this, in very general terms, like you're very fresh and green and like not really affected by anything, and like you may have anxieties and that's quite normal. But when you get to like your mid 20s, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and it's almost like they said it's almost like you reach like level 5 of anxieties. Like you get all these new anxieties and all these new problems that you had never really considered before. And I really love the way that Cry Club kind of explores those. I think it's not like this exploration of like green feelings and like, oh, we just finished school, like, oh my god, I'm in love for the first time. It's a real flawed representation. It's a representation of how flawed you get when you have a few relationships and a few friendships that disappear. It's like paranoia and you know, whatever. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and it's that satisfying thing of knowing you're not the only one that's experience that. And like it seems so obvious, but it is a little bit alleviating for your anxiety knowing that you're not the only one that has had those thoughts and that has experienced those things.
That's
100%.
It.
Should we listen to a little bit of it? So this is a little bit of Dissolve by Cry Club. Definitely go and check out their full album, God I'm Such a Mess, though. Here we go. That was a little bit of Dissolve by Cry Club, who Jono from Cry Club was on last episode, so make sure you go back and listen to that if you haven't already. I'm here with Eilish Gilligan, who I adore. My first song choice. This is really stunted today. I'm very sorry, everyone. I have chosen a song from Jordy Race Coldre called Strawberry Gum, and I feel like I need to caveat this by saying his mum is like the greatest person alive and like my mentor in sport world, so it's really funny how this has crossed over into music world.
That's
for me,
so beautiful.
As well, and I hear all the stories from his mum about how hard he works and how through lockdown he's just been working really hard on his music, and he's also working on a few other things as well, and they're a really talented family, and this song really caught me. So yeah, I just really like how it seems so simple and it has this really nice journey mm-hmm. through it. I think this is, he's released a few singles to this point. I think this is definitely like the, I guess best is probably not the best way to describe it, but you know, like it's the most mature, yeah. I guess, of everything he's released so far. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this though. Yeah, I was thinking when I said this through, I was like, I want to know what I was
I just like start talking. I really loved how I love the lyrics, by the way. The first thing that really stood mm-hmm. out to me were the really like quite I want to say like eye-catching imagery, even though it's like not really, it's not eye-catching, it's ear-catching, I suppose. Really beautiful, beautiful voice as well. Like the way the voice like floats on top is really lovely. And also I really liked the intro, the vibe that I couldn't catch the timing of it at the start. I was like, what meter are we in? I don't quite understand what's happening. And maybe that's my brain at like midnight when I was listening to it last night. But I liked it because it was like unsteady and it felt unsure. And then it kind of kicked in and I was like, oh, that's where we are. Okay, cool. But the chorus is beautiful. I love how complex the lyrics are. Like I was like, gee, I wonder what this is really about. You know, it's like one of those songs that you want to know the story behind.
Yeah, 100%. I would love to get Jordy on to actually talk about his music, because I believe he's got quite a musical theatre background, so
it feels like
probably
that.
A lot more of that technical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for you to say the vocals are really beautiful, I think is a massive compliment to anyone, so I hope he appreciates how big a deal that is too. I just think there's so much potential in this kid, and he's literally like done everything himself, so The next step, I guess, would be spend time with a producer, not necessarily having someone else produce for him, but, you know, developing those skills that little bit further and seeing what more mm-hmm. that could do. And I'm really excited to see where he goes from.
Also, just from like a publicist perspective, because I do that sometimes. I love the art. The single artwork is great. It's mm-hmm. so good.
Incredible.
And that really caught my eye as well, like straight away. When you sent me the songs that we were going to listen to today, I think that was my favorite single artwork from them.
I think visuals is always a priority for him as well, because I believe his brother is a really amazing mm-hmm. photographer. They've worked together on a few things that way as well. So I think visual is definitely something that's a priority for him in terms of his brand, which is really cool. I'd really love to see this one live, because I think it would be really fun to watch live.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the way that chorus goes, just, yeah. Anyway, I'm picturing it in my head. I'm like, I'm at the Workers Club watching him sing this. Anyway, I'm going to stop being weird. We're going to listen to a little bit of this, and we'll come back. It's called Strawberry Gum. It's by Jordy Race Coldre. Can I just go back to the night in the back of your car? That was a little bit of Strawberry Gum by Geordie Rice Coldre. Eilish, what is your second song choice for us today?
Let me remember. okay, my second one today is Away From Love by Georgia Mack.
Yep.
And I've been really obsessed with this song. I let this album pass me by when it came out last year. I don't really know why, because I'm a huge Camp Cope fan. I do that sometimes with albums. I just let them kind of come out, and then like a few months after, like I didn't listen to Phoebe Bridgers until last year, which is just disgusting. so I picked up this album at the start of the it was only like a couple of months ago. I mean, time is nothing this year, but whatever. A couple of months ago.
That's correct.
I picked it up a couple of months ago and I was like, no, I think it's time to listen to this, because I'm pretty sure she worked with Darcy Bayliss, who I love. Really, really respect the work of Darcy. I think it's just brilliant. And obviously Georgia is just, you know, a poet. And I love this album. It was really affecting. And this song in particular, I love. I really love the contrast between the verses and the chorus, I think, is really, really clever to me. Like, the long notes in the top line for the verse versus the kind of more kind of lazy staccato of the chorus is really interesting, because usually I would say in very general terms, it's kind of the other way around, like long notes in the chorus and then like more erratic verse lines. But I just think it works so well, and her voice is so beautiful. It really shines in this bed of like gentle synth and like restrained production and like ominous production as well. Like, this is kind of how I love Camp Cope. But this is kind of how, like, no one's asking me, but, like, this is how I would produce Georgia.
I'm asking you.
But if someone was like, okay, Eilish, like, you have to remix a Georgia Mack song or a Camp Cope song or, you know, we're going to put you in a room with her. Like, this is how I would have done it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that, as a non-technical music person, so I'm probably going to be repeating what you've just said, just in very bad words. I find this song has a great balance of being really, really catchy, but also having that almost completely stripped back feel. And I feel like we don't find that very often. Like, not often will you get a catchy song that's so stripped back this way.
Yeah, totally. Sense. Totally. It's really restrained. Yeah. And that's hard. Like, having that restraint is really difficult as, like, a songwriter and a producer. And I just think that it's such a great job. I think restraint is something that Camp Cope are generally very good at, and something that I'm super jealous of. And it just shines. Like, it shines in the totally different way and a totally different like practice for her here, and I just think she's amazing.
Yeah, and like we talk about the reference to Camp Cope, obviously Georgia being one of the three band members of Camp Cope. I like that she's been willing to explore the things she does well in a different way, and I think it's allowed like a lot of those lyrics and her voice to like shine a little bit more through this. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Let's hear a bit of Away From Love by Georgia Mack. We'll come back in a second. Walking away from love, 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 walking away from love. That was a bit of Away From Love by Georgia Mack. I feel like it's important for me to say that while we've been chatting, someone just tweeted, I can't believe I get to see Cry Club and Eilish Gilligan on the same night with lots of exclamation points. So relevant to the conversation today. I want to go to that as well. Where's that?
What? Yeah, that. I know. About this. It's at, is it Leadbeater? Is that how you say it? I don't even know.
December 12th.
Yeah, December 12th. I'm so excited. I'm so excited simply just to be at a venue to play a show, but also to play it with, like, my favourite band in the whole world. Blessed. Blessed behaviour.
I have to get tickets to this. All right, I've opened the link, everyone. I will buy it after we finish recording so I don't interrupt our recording anymore. I'm leaving all of this in as well. So maybe when this comes out, if there's tickets still available, you know to go and get them now. Okay, songs, music. All right, Artie Ziff is my next choice. Artie Ziff is Mitch Kelly, who has been on the podcast before. He's actually been on some of my footy podcasts as well, because he and his brother Broden, who recently had a Netflix special with his group Auntie Donna just come out, which is amazing. They've been on my footy podcast before because both of them are big Melbourne fans. So Mitch and I are good friends in and outside of music, which is great. I feel like this whole song selection for me is just nepotism today. Apologies, everyone. I've chosen his new single called Thought About You, and it features fractures on the vocals. I like this because it's all up until now, Artie Ziff, I do like a distinct sound, and I really liked all of his releases up until now, but I like that this is a really different look at Artie Ziff, and Fracture's vocals fit so beautifully over it, but he just, it sounds like a new era almost of him, and the artwork is cool as well, and you know, all that stuff is going on. But the thing that I really want to hear from this is I want to hear a remix of this as well. I think that would be sick.
Yeah. I really like, this song reminds me of, like, in a nostalgic way of DJing, when I used to be able to DJ, when we were used to be able to do things. This is the kind of song I would play at like 9 o'clock to kind of get people in the vibe without being too too pushy, if that makes sense. 100%. Yeah, 100%. Which I can't remember what we used to call them. Me and my friend Max, who I play with a lot of the time, he also DJs, and we used to have a name for these songs, and I can't remember what it was. It was like the ones that we have, like, three genres of songs that we play first. It's like the first ones are the ones that aren't too intimidating but get people in the vibe. The next one is Lil Bangers, which is like medium size. And then the third one is just like absolute, like, unhinged, untouched by the Veronicas kind of dance floor vibe. But this is like the first step towards that in my DJ evening. So that's like a really tricky vibe to get right, to be honest, because you want to encourage people to dance, but not to, like, go crazy yet. You just want to get them in the mood. And this is a great song for that. Perfect, even. And also, Artie Ziff is such a great name. I'm obsessed.
It's a great name, right? Yeah. He's just nailed it. And the thing with Mitch, and if you listen back to the episode I did with him earlier this year, last year maybe? It was probably last year, because this year's been awful. He doesn't release very regularly because what he actually does is he goes out to op shops and stuff and he buys old vinyl and then comes home and samples the vinyl that he's never heard of. And it's just such an intricate process to get his songs to a point where they're actually a song that it takes a year before he releases his next single. So it's such an interesting process for him. I'd love to, like, have him do, like, a day in the life or, like, a Twitch stream like you've done, showing how he has that process. So this is why you don't hear very regularly from Artie Ziff, because it's such a, like, long, you know, drawn-out thing. Yeah, and it definitely gives it that different feel to it than a lot of other music in a similar genre as well, I think.
Yeah.
Well, And we also love Fractures, so, you know, shout out to Fractures. this is Thought About You featuring Fractures by Artie Ziff, and we'll come back for Eilish's last song choice. That was a bit of Thought About You by Artie Ziff featuring Fractures on the vocals. Eilish, we're up to your final song for today. Can you talk to me about it?
Yes, it is Real Groove by Kylie Minogue. I am so obsessed with Kylie. She is like one of my favorite Australian musicians ever. I think she is just a star. And her album Fever is one of my favorite albums in the whole world. Absolutely. Just like I almost brought Fever, the song, and I was like, oh, I should probably talk about her more recent stuff. Anyway. So I listened to this album and I just think it's so, she's literally reached a point in her career where she's just like, whatever. Like, I'm just gonna do what I want. And she put out a country album, and now she's put out a disco album, and it's so good. Just like the country album was so good. It is just amazing.
Yeah.
The top line's amazing. This song in particular, the top line's amazing. The vibe of it is great. Like, I love the core idea of the song, which is basically just like, you're hanging out with somebody kind of like me, but she's not as good as you and I were together. And I mean, I love that. That's a great, it's a very clear idea, very clear concept. But she's just playing with it in a really fun way. And the chorus is so strong. And then it kind of reaches this bit where she does this like, really fun, silly kind of vocal manipulation in there, like with the chorus melody. And it's just so ballsy. And I just love it. I think she's amazing. And anyone who says otherwise is stupid.
This is a thing actually about Kylie that I've noticed as someone who, and this is not me trying to shame anyone or anything, I've never in the past really listened to a lot of like big pop music. It's just not been the thing that I search out. And so it could just be me kind of re-entering that world, so becoming more aware of it. But I feel like she's become far more connected to the Australian music community in recent years.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think in turn, the Australian music community has kind of, I guess, rewarded her or kind of given it back by really encouraging and being excited about what she's putting out. And it feels so wholesome.
Yeah, that's actually such a good observation. I don't know. I agree with you. I wonder if it's like because we're getting, because she's just been a staple in the industry since I was like, you know, born. But like, is it perhaps that we're getting older and understanding her relationship to the Australian music community? Or is it, do you think she's coming back to her roots in some way? Or like, I wonder if it's like her or me or both of us kind of rediscovering, like she's kind of rediscovering the Australian music industry and becoming like a little bit more ingratiated in some way, as opposed to like that stupid thing that happens to like really successful Australian artists where they just kind of become the exception and kind of lose touch, whether that's at their end or at our end, because we have this awful like tall poppy thing where we just like you know, delete people who are successful in Australia for some reason, which it probably totally was with her in her case. Anyway, I'm rambling. Song's fucking great.
No, it makes sense. No, it totally makes sense, because I feel like it probably is both us and her, and also the way the industry has changed as well. So I think we're much more accepting of big pop artists in Australia now than we were 10, 15, 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas like she had to move to the UK to find success earlier on. But now we love local pop artists. Like, we're trying to claim Sia back after we wanted nothing to do with her early in her career.
Yeah.
You know, like, even people like, I guess Amy Shark is a different kind of artist, but you know, like these bigger artists we're claiming now and finding space for rather than making them go elsewhere to find that success.
I have a problem with like pessimism personally. Like I'm a pessimistic, cynical person when it comes to the music industry. So what I'm about to say is coming through that perspective, which is not a healthy or productive one. I want to say that I agree with you that bigger pop artists are becoming more embraced by the Australian kind of industry and like people who love music. I think it's much better than it used to be for sure. Like that is 100% true. I still don't think that we're gonna see a true acceptance of Australian pop until commercial radio starts playing Australian pop. Because the thing that makes me crazy, and Amy Shark is a good example of this, who I love, by the way. I think she's amazing. But Amy Shark is a pop artist, and she had to go all the way through Triple J on Earth. Like, she had to go through Triple J from, like, grassroots nothing to becoming a huge, huge Triple J name with the door and, like, winning the Hottest 100 or coming second or whatever it was before Australian commercial radio was like, oh yeah, what's she about kind of thing. Yeah. And I think that makes me so mad because it's like, she should have just been on commercial radio from the beginning. Like, I don't understand. Or she at least should have been considered by commercial radio from the beginning. I don't understand why it's up to Triple J to unearth these pop artists, these commercial pop artists. It makes me crazy. Point of that story, I can't remember what the point of that story was, but...
No, I think you're 100% right. I think we're seeing a few, like, little shows, like Ash London Show and people like that on commercial radio are starting to be that link. Obviously, it's not enough yet, but we're starting to find homes for these people and it's broadening, horizons a little bit. I also think the growth of, I guess, indie artists in Australia that publicly express their love for big pop artists, like what Cub Sport do. I think that has helped as well.
God bless Cub Sport, I think, is the moral of that story.
They're unbelievable. They're so beautiful. Oh, they do so much right. Just I love ridiculous. Them. Far out. Well, we talked about Kylie Minogue, Real Groove. Let's play some of it and we'll come back. This is Real Groove by Kylie Minogue. That was a bit of Real Groove by Kylie Minogue, and it was also a nice chat about the state of pop music in Australia, which we always love to have. That was not sarcastic either. I genuinely enjoyed that conversation for anyone playing at home. My final song for today, before we jump into Eilish's stuff, I've chosen another Lupa J song. Flipping adore
Me
Lupa
too!
J, I think there. This song is called This Suburb. And it's Lupa J has always, to me, kind of represented that it's almost post-electronic, post-punk kind of industrial kind of music that is so well put together because they are such a clever musician technically, and the way they see music is just so smart. But it's always come through as this really cool kind of off-kilter stuff. This one is that, but it's not as, I guess, industrial. It's got less of... It's a bit more subdued, maybe, but it still has all that feeling to it. And then later on in it, there's this breakdown that takes you completely back to Lupa J as we know and love them. So I love that this song is almost like a linking song between what we've always known and what Lupa J could potentially be.
Yeah, I'm about to flip the table. I love Lupa J. Lupa J is one of the most exciting, the most thrilling, the most innovative, the bravest, like most intelligent artists that we have in this country, and no one shows them enough respect. And it makes me so angry. I think this song, I'm actually so glad you chose this song because, like, this song, I know I agree totally with your description of Lupa J's practice, for sure, like, the industrial punk electronic, like, absolutely. And it's, like, their production is a real, sometimes, a bit of a middle finger to, like, how the industry is working at the moment because it's so strange and unusual and not what anyone else is doing, which I just love. But I also think that this song is incredibly pop influenced. Like, it's got a pop songwriting beat, I guess. Like, it reminds me of Julia Michaels, which is, like, because it's that story. It's almost just in the lyrics and the melody, but then the production around it is so, like, it hits that like, 3-minute mark and it becomes quite strange. Like, it kind of starts out in this, like, kind of understated, like, a little bit off kilter, but then it, like, goes kind of, it really turns it up a notch, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that in a song. Something that gives you, like, an arc that matches the line of the story is just perfect. But the melody is, like, the top line is just, like, pure pop, and the lyrics are pure pop. Like, the story that they're describing is just this beautiful Lord-esque, like, I don't want to say coming of age because it's not really that, but it smells like that kind of thing, in a really sweet, beautiful way. And then the way that it ends, just on that, like, can't remember the exact lyric, but it's like, I just want to float here or something. This is fucking perfect. Like, literally can't, like, they just can't go wrong. And over a year ago, I was at a songwriting camp with them, and we just never got in a room together, and I'm so annoyed because I really, and when we said goodbye to each other, it was like sliding doors. We kind of just, like, looked at each other and were like, damn, like, I wish we could have written together.
Well, with borders opening up, no reason why you can't loop up. Yeah. I would love to hear a crossover between you and Lupa J. I think that would be so fascinating. And just, like, going back to what you were saying about production and all that sort of stuff and how you're kind of starting to work more and more in production, imagine what you could learn from someone like Lupa J, who's always done their own production at such an incredible level. Like,
and they just keep getting better and better and better. Like, I thought that Swallow Me Whole was so fucking good. God. Like, so good. I was like, how on earth could this get better? And it just did with this song for me. Like, it's just amazing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I say every time I choose a Lupa J song on Australian Jams, I'm like, why aren't people taking notice?
And I know.
It still feels that way. Like, it feels like there's not that big leap that people have made to acknowledge them. And it's so frustrating because it's like, I'm telling you all this amazing artist exists. Why aren't you listening to me, people?
I can't tell you how much I agree. And I know that feeling. I think, and I'm about to make a very sweeping statement that I hope that people don't get kind of upset by, whatever. I think, like, Australia is just very fragile in terms of, like, or very careful, I should say, probably is a better word, in terms of, like, music taste. I think people are afraid of something that's a bit, it's a bit different from what they know. Yeah. And I think that, like, you just have to be really persistent and gentle. It's almost like trying to get a kid to try something new that you know is really delicious, that you know they'll like, but they're just like, no, I don't want it, I don't want it. And it's like, but why don't you just, like, it's sushi, it's delicious, like, it has, you know, this in it, and it's really yum, and I promise you'll like it. And, like, it's almost like you have to keep eating it, keep going, like, delicious, and, like, proving to them that it's good. And then finally, they'll be like, oh, give me some of that. And then they'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's like, yeah, we've been telling you for like 5 years that this is good. But I'm glad you're on board now. You know, I think it's very much that. For something yeah. that's a little bit off center, like Looper J, I think it is going to be more of a like growing a loyal fan base at like a grassroots kind of level. And then once you just grow like to the point where you just can't be ignored anymore, if that makes sense. I think I'm speaking so passionately about yes. this because I identify with it personally as an artist, like yep. Not that I'm kind of lumping me and Looper J into the same world, but I do understand what it's like to be a little bit different from what people are normally used to listening to. And you just have to be like, yeah, no, this is good. Like, I know this is good. It's going to happen eventually. But people just aren't quite, you know, they're not quite ready for it yet. They don't know what to do with it, ready. You know? And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. They did support Alice Glass a Perfect. Couple of years ago. And I was hoping that would be a really big leap for them. And you know what? Maybe Looper J is the kind of artist that needs to find massive success overseas before Australia will take them seriously, unfortunately. Like,
that Methyl pisses Ethyl, me off.
Methyl Ethyl were that artist, and Methyl Ethyl yeah. are a bit odd. Pitched and pitched and pitched to Triple J. Triple J didn't That's want a bar right. of them. Twilight yeah. Driving was the single. Triple J didn't want to know about it. They went overseas. They got signed by 4AD in the UK. Yeah. And yeah. all of a sudden, Triple J unearthed them on Triple J Unearthed with Twilight
yeah.
Driving.
I think it just, it makes me a bit sad that Australians, because I love this country and I do love the industry here for the most part. I think the people in it are, you know, in general, really genuine and yeah. like love Australian music. And a lot of the time, you know, it's people who absolutely adore your music, but it's just like the vibe of the country is just not ready. Yeah. Like, it could have been that, like, you know, industry tastemakers, in quotation marks, could have been, you know, pumping Methyl Ethyl for years and been like, this is great, but just couldn't convince, you know, the powers that be or whatever. And then I think it just upsets me to think that Australians have to be driven away and traumatized by yeah. their own industry that should be really supportive of them, and then all of a sudden, once they, you know, get success in Europe or in America or whatever, the industry comes back and is like, our homegrown talent, yeah. you know. Oh. It's really, it's sad and it's wrong. But also, you know, there's not a heap that individuals can do about it. It needs to be like a wider, more powerful change, unfortunately.
Yeah, it feels, and I bring it back to this again, apologies for this, but feels very parallel to the whole women in sport conversation. Because it's
yeah,
like,
of course.
There is this loyal fan base that desperately wants it, but the people that have the power to allow it to take the next step
yep.
aren't convinced yet. And yep. how do you convince them? You're doing everything you can right now.
Exactly.
How do you convince them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like one of my other passions is The Bachelor. And it's kind of like you ask and ask and ask and say that you're ready, and like you're begging for like queer representation, like
yeah.
you know, more variety of like body shapes and sizes and people of color, like more diversity. And you're like yelling at them being like, we're ready. Like, we're ready. Please give it to us. And they're just like, oh, but oh, and it's like they just can't handle it yet. And it's like eventually it will happen, and it sucks every single day until it does. But yeah, it's just a slow process.
Yeah, and you've just got to, if you're one of the people pushing for it, you got to not stop pushing for it, I guess.
Exactly.
In the meantime. Yeah.
That's it.
Anyway,
that's it.
Moral of the story is Looper J is fucking amazing. And everyone needs to, they released an album not too long ago. Please go and listen to the album as well. But we're going to hear a little bit of This Suburb right now by Looper J. I've grown to love this suburb. The morning coffee walk. We're watching. That was This Suburb by Looper J. I am joined by the incredible Eilish Gilligan, who by the time this comes out will have released a record. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. 26th of November it came out.
Yeah.
Or is coming out. We're working with time here.
It's just funny because like we're doing, I mean, I'm useless. I don't know if you've ever seen, have you ever seen the SNL skit Sue Loves Surprises?
No.
Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. So, listeners, I'm going to talk directly to you. If you've seen the skit Sue Loves Surprises on SNL, I'm Sue when it comes to, like, teasing music. Like, I just can't contain it. Like, the whole vibe of this EP and the singles preceding it were that they were going to be, like, a surprise drop. And that's what I initially requested of my managers and my team. Like, I kept being like, I want it to be a surprise. I want it to be a surprise. I want it to come out of nowhere kind of thing. And then they're like, okay, well, we'll have to do a couple of singles first. But, you know, yes, we can do that. And I was like, all right, great. Surprise, surprise. But then, of course, it's like coming and I just can't help myself be like, I've got new music coming out. And then, like, I put the single out and then it's like, there's more coming soon. Like, I just keep spoiling it, but then I'm spoiling it, but I'm not spoiling it correctly because I don't want to give out the date of the EP. So I just constantly forget when the stupid EP is coming out. Anyway, whatever, it's out now by the time you're listening to this, so yeah. I don't have to worry about it.
I can relate so hard to that because I've spent, and by the time this comes out, I think it'll be done. But I've been working on this massive, massive long-form piece with a co-writer for 4 months. So yeah. The majority of the second lockdown, I've been working on this piece. And I wanted it to, like, come out and everyone be like, oh, this is amazing. But I can't – every time I get off an interview with someone, I'm like, I have to tell people about this. I have to tweet that I've just spoken to this amazing person and I just can't hold it in. So
yeah, I know.
I definitely relate.
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
So this – record obviously was intended to be a surprise. Has it been completely constructed during the lockdown period in Melbourne?
So yeah, it kind of started in the first lockdown. I was very it's hard because I wanted it to not speak, like, I didn't want it to be related to the lockdown at all, because it's not about corona. Like, yeah. It's not like a corona extravaganza. It's more about, I mean, it's just like me basically writing music. It's got nothing to do with corona at all. But in saying that, it was made in isolation and it was made during the first and second lockdowns, and it probably wouldn't have come around so quickly if it hadn't been for the lockdowns. So, you know, that does influence, and it also influences your mood as an artist, and it influences, you know, everything that you do. Like, I didn't see anyone for months, just like everyone in Melbourne didn't. And I think that probably bled into some of the creative choices that I made in some way, shape or form, because it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, I don't think it's possible to create and be completely unaware of your circumstances, particularly when they're so intense.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, it was made in lockdown, but it's not about lockdown. But probably, you know, you'll be able to hear whispers of it in there.
So when Jono and I spoke about it on last episode, because Jono chose Flesh particular to talk about. He's an angel.
I love Jono. Yeah.
We did have a discussion about how being in lockdown, while you don't intend for it to impact your music, it might. This may not have even been a conversation with Jono. This may have been a conversation with someone else on a different episode, but it is a conversation I've had in the past week with someone about how not being around other people or and maybe as a probably a pop artist like yourself, it's all often been about the big dynamics and things like that. And maybe that's not something that you've relied upon as much because you're not not creating it with an intention for a live audience, maybe. Is that something that you even thought about or maybe has subconsciously impacted the music?
That's a really interesting point. I think, I mean, probably subconsciously in some way, shape or form. I just think I've always had this music in me. Mm-hmm. Like, lockdown or no lockdown, I think that this was always going to come out at some point. Kind of like throwing up. It's like, you know, you can't keep it down. But, like, I think this was always going to come. This was always going to come out from me. I'm a pianist. This is the kind of music that I was making at university. Yeah. Like, this really kind of, I don't want to say lo-fi. It's not really lo-fi, but, like, understated production, I suppose. Like, few stems in the session. Piano-based kind of confessional pop songwriting. That's the music I was making like fucking 8 years ago, you know? And I think that I was always going to come back to that. I was always going to come back around to that, at some point. And I think that for some reason this year, I do think this year informed this, cause I always had the idea of making an EP like this, but it was always secondary to like the stuff that I envisioned would put me on the radio or get me a good tour support slot or, you know, whatever. And that doesn't mean that music, I mean, it doesn't give any less or more weight to any style of music that I put out. Like, it's all part of the story. But this year, because everything was quiet and like soft and everything just stopped, it felt like the right time to do it. And originally, it was going, because I've got this other EP that I'm working on that has been put on hold for months because I needed to get to Sydney to finish it. And obviously I couldn't do that because of the borders. So originally what it was going to be was we were going to put out that EP first and do that whole campaign first. And then, so originally that EP was going to come out first and then the piano EP was going to, like, follow it very quietly as a genuine surprise. like, as an actual surprise. And also as, like, an additional, like, treat for people and fans of mine who understand that this is just as much a part of me as like, the bigger pop stuff.
Yeah.
But because of the way that this year kind of unfolded, it became very apparent very quickly that there was no way that I was going to be able to get to Sydney, like within an adequate time frame for me to put out, for me to finish this original EP in time for a release this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to throw my weight behind this piano EP and put that out this year and then just wait until I can go to Sydney and finish the other EP. That was a very long logistical.
No, it makes total sense. And I don't mean to keep making things about the lockdown because, music is...
I mean, it is. It is about it, though. Like, this year has been so oppressive in so many different ways. Like, you would be stupid to be like, well, I wasn't affected at all. Like, my music wasn't affected at all. Like, it so was.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's funny because the last time you were on Australian Jams was right before you released SMFY. Because I remember... you sending me the track a few days before it came out so I could have a listen so we could talk about it. And I kept getting the letters mixed up. That's why I remember That's why I remember that that's when it was. So, and it's kind of amazing and really exciting to me that we can have these conversations before two really different kinds of music. But I feel like the emotion that comes through is just as strong with both. And that's something that as an artist, being able to do that is just incredible. Is that something that has just been kind of the core of a lot of what you want to do, is just that emotional part of it?
I just can't help it. I think that's like the one thing that I've learned about myself. And I still have so much to learn about myself. And over the last like week or so, last couple of weeks or so, I've been really contending with how much of myself I'm making publicly available and how much of it I am not. And right now, the balance of that is just obscene. Like, I make myself so publicly available that I think for the first time in my life, I'm kind of reevaluating that, which has never happened before, because I've always just been like, I'm an open book. Like, you know, I'll write about whatever I want. And like, I'll like publicly berate myself in a song and be fine with it. And like, then I'll get on Twitter and like tweet about how depressed I am and like blah, blah. And it's like, I feel a bit sad, like looking back on when we spoke about SMFY, I feel sad for that girl who was with you then, because I went through so much that year that SMFY came out, and I was literally just talking about this on Twitch yesterday and it's at the top of my mind now still, but like the year that I had when SMFY came out was brilliant and exciting and amazing, but I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I kind of was like incredibly overwhelmed, mentally unwell, and like just trying to make it through kind of thing in a very exhilarating and exciting world. But yeah, I don't think I can help the way that I write songs. I don't think that's something that I'm going to be able to censor, and that I don't think I should in any way. Like, I think it's just the way that I am creatively, and I'm glad that I'm that way, because I think there's a level of vulnerability there that perhaps not everybody gets to access that often. And I think by being that level of vulnerable in my music, I think it does help people. It's kind of like with Cry Club. I think they hit that as well, which is why I respect them so much.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of like trying to balance, because I'm so confessional in my writing, it's a matter of trying to balance exactly how that plays into my like online persona, for lack of a better word. Like, I'm doing air quotes around persona because it is me. It's not a persona, it just is me. But like, my instinct is to just blur, like overshare all the time, and then because you overshare all the time, people start to expect that from you, and then they kind of ask for more. And I think that as my audience grows, which it has over the last couple of years since SMFY came out. When I wrote SMFY, I was like, lol, no one's gonna hear this, it's just like reading out of my diary, but no one's gonna hear it, so it doesn't matter. But now people are listening to what I'm doing and wondering what it's about and asking me. And I think I love that, because it means people care. And that is incredibly precious to me, particularly as an artist, like, who doesn't get played on the radio, you know. But I've had to contend with, like, you know, how much of myself is just going to be for me and my family and friends? And how much of me is for everyone? Because right now it feels like all of me is just for everyone. And I'm proud of that in a way, in a very stubborn way. But also, I think that that's probably not sustainable in the long term. But it's a good question. Like, it's an interesting question. The idea of like, do you purposely share so much in your music, or do you just, is that just how you are? And I think it's just how I am. And not only just in my music, but as a person in general. And I think that as I get older, I'm kind of being like, perhaps that's not the healthiest way to live.
No, you just you speak so eloquently on it. It's I think you're a very like a worthwhile person to listen to discuss these things as well. So hopefully some other songwriters even get a lot out of what you've just said too, which is I think really important. And as you were saying that, there were a few artists that were immediately popping to the top of my head, like Alexander Biggs and Odette and Angie McMahon.
Yes.
All of those popped straight to the top of my head as being very similar in that respect too.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
All amazing as well, I should mention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I've kept you for a long time today. I'm sorry, but I do have another question about production. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry if I am. You hadn't done a lot of your own production or just solely done production without working with someone else in the past prior to Flesh, had you?
Yeah, I mean, not. It's funny because I started... I feel like my whole life is just this big circle of like starting somewhere and then going on this huge journey and then coming back to where I started. Like it even goes all the way back to when I was like a little kid and I was just playing piano and loving that. I think that this like where I am right now is just, you know, a quarter of the way through the huge circle journey of like, you know, where I'm inevitably going to end up when I'm like 90 and I'm just going to be playing the piano by myself again like I was as a little kid. So basically, all of that is to say, I did a lot of production myself when I was a teenager and when I was at university, but I never really thought of it as production. I just thought of it as like songwriting.
Yep.
But I was self-producing all of this music, not ever really asking anyone for help, but because I didn't see it as production, as sound engineering, as like, you know, arranging.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it as like being creative and like whatever. I never thought of myself as a producer. And I also think that a lot of that is informed by like self-confidence and me feeling like, oh, well, I'm, and this is stupid and you should never feel this way. But I was like, oh, I'm a girl. Like that Malibu Barbie in The Simpsons, where she learns how to talk for the first time. And she's like, don't ask me, I'm just a girl. Like, I felt like that in terms of production. I was like, I don't know anything about production. What are you talking about? But then I did know about production because I was using Logic to make all this music and I was using plugins and doing everything that a producer does, but I just called it songwriting.
Yeah.
And I'm really annoyed at myself and sad for that person that I was, because if I just self-identified as a producer then, I think I could have saved myself a lot of strife and a lot of self-discovery, you know? But anyway, the point is, I really only started calling myself a producer in the last 12 months. And as soon as I self-identified as a producer, it was like a light switched on and I was like, oh shit, yeah, I do know how to do this. Like, why did I think that I didn't? I don't know. I've been doing it for years. Like, I never stopped doing it. And I think that will be one of my, like, lifelong regrets, I think, unfortunately. The fact that I didn't have enough confidence in myself and in my skills and in my place in the music industry, that I couldn't self-identify as a producer until I was, like, you know, 25. And I think that is so sad.
Yeah.
And I never want that to happen to somebody who, you know, might be in a similar position as I have been in the last few years. Like, you know, someone who's not a man, who works with a lot of men, who are very confident and nice, but confident, and can be, you know, can talk over you without realizing that they're doing it and all that stuff. And not that it's their fault, it's like still, it was a problem with me as well, like that I couldn't say, it was my own like internal issues that I couldn't like identify as a producer until that point. But like, I do think it's difficult when you're in a place where you're like the only woman or the only non-man or the only, you know, whatever. I do think it makes it harder to own your craft. But you're like, long story short, you're correct. I didn't identify as a producer until like the last 12 months. And for all intents and purposes, for someone looking on from the outside, they would be like, oh, so she's pivoted to being a producer. But from the perspective of like anyone who knows me well and has known me for a few years or made music with me before, you would understand that it's like, yeah, I am she has been producing for a long time, but she just never told anyone about it or said that that's what it was.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it's so, like, inspiring. And again, I bring it back to myself because that's my point of reference. But, like, being a writer, I've never called I actually had this conversation with someone the other day because someone approached me and said, you should write a book. And I was like, I'm not a writer, though. And then everyone that I told was like, you are a writer. Like, what are you talking about? And it's just that really, like, actually acknowledging that that's what you've been doing.
It's incredibly important to just be like, I am this. Yeah. Like, I cannot tell you how powerful it was for me to just call myself a producer. Like, it sounds so silly, but it is so empowering to do that. Like, to be like, I am this. So, like, if anyone's listening and, you know, wants to take something away, I would say the one thing, just say that you are the thing and work it out later. Like,
that's just what all the dudes are doing anyway, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, why shouldn't we do that? And then also, you'll probably find that you were fucking doing it all along anyway. Like, and you just, like I was, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so just start saying that you're the thing and you will be the thing.
Yeah. So have you produced this whole EP solo?
Yeah. Incredible. I did it all myself. Yeah, I did it all myself. And I'm so bloody proud of that. And that was, like, the point of it in a lot of ways for me, just to kind of prove that I could. And, I mean, of course I always could. And I know that now. But even 8 months ago when I started doing the EP, I set it as a challenge for myself to be like, well, I'm going to do this thing all by myself. And if I can do that, then I can, you know, be rest assured that I am a producer and that I can do that. And of course I could always do it. I could always do it. And I don't know why I didn't think I could, but, like, it was very empowering to do it now. You know, the difference between me then and me now is crazy. Like, I readily introduce myself as a producer. I'm producing for other people, like, doing work for other people. And, I would never have had the confidence to do that before, which, you know, that's why if this EP does nothing else except give me confidence, then it was a worthy pursuit, in my opinion.
Yeah. And this is the thing. We always have... I often have people say to me, well, who are the female producers that you know or that you're aware of? I'm like, there are so many. Like, Becky Whitten is AFA. She's unbelievably talented and hardworking. Yes. There's Lupa J, who we've just mentioned, who's non-binary, but... not male identifying. Yeah. There's, I mean, Joy has often spoken about her.
Joy's sick. She's great.
Yeah, and how people assume that she has not produced her own music when she's always been producing her own music. So, the having that bit of confidence, which is easier said than done, to actually tell people that's who you are and admit to yourself that that's who you are, then can make all the difference.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, it's almost just as hard to admit to yourself that's who you are, you know? And also, I should say that Becky mixed the EP, and she also, she did a couple of drums here and there to a couple of the tracks, which was so great because she's just so brilliant to work with and, like, an absolutely, like, beautiful, beautiful, kind person and the most perfect person to work with on this project that was so vulnerable and I felt so, you know, open when I was making it, and she was just so receptive. So yeah, she's great.
I love her so much.
Me too.
The best.
Yeah.
We should wrap this up because we've been going for a while. I told you this would take 45 minutes. It's been an hour and 20. I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay. I budgeted for it.
I have very much, I'm so grateful you've come on to chat with me. I'm actually going to go out of this very inspired. So thank you for that.
Brilliant.
Where can people find you if they want to follow you on social or find your music or anything like that?
Well, luckily my name is very Googleable, so you can just Google my name and you'll find me on your preferred music consumption platform. May I suggest Bandcamp? It's the best one.
Yes.
And you can find me on Twitch just by Googling Eilish Gilligan Twitch. You can find me everywhere just by Googling.
Yeah, I'll chuck a bunch of the links below in the show notes. But yes, if there's a platform that I've missed, please just search for it. Eilish, We're going to wrap this up with a little bit of one of the songs from your EP. I will throw it to you. Which one would you like to go out with?
Oh, this is the first time I get to pick any one of them. I can't remember which ones are on it. I'm going to say, I reckon we should do Hospital, because the EP is called Hospital, so it should be that.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to wrap up this episode of Australian Jams with a little bit of Hospital by Eilish Gilligan from her brand new EP. Please go and purchase it, or, I mean, if you have to stream it on Tidal, because they pay the most. but yeah, purchasing it is the best possible option, and then just support Eilish wherever you use social media, I guess. Thank you so much, Eilish. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in another fortnight with another awesome interview with an artist who I have adored for a really long time as well. So it's a really good way to end the year. I've been Gemma Bassiani. You can find Australian Jams on all your socials, or if you want to hear me talk about football, footy, Aussie rules, you can follow me on Twitter at GL Bassiani. Otherwise, I'll see you all in a fortnight again. Thank you.
I don't know who you are when you call me in this state. In the dark, but you're buried in the blank. I'm halfway out the door. I pull my shoes back on, and all these voices in the car, turn them up, 'cause I control them.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.